Hello, and welcome to show number 2515 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
What's up, film lovers, and welcome back to another episode of The Dark Room, where two blind cinephiles illuminate the sighted. I'm Lee Pugsley.
I'm Alex Howard.
And this is a podcast hosted by two legally blind guys for film lovers of all abilities.
So join us at the movies today.
Dive into the world of movies from a visually impaired perspective. We'll talk with Alex Howard and Lee Pugsley, who you just heard, co-hosts of the Dark Room podcast, about what motivated them to start the podcast, their experiences at movie theaters, their challenges with some audio description services, and improving theater accessibility. But first, for our tip of the week. Well, this week we have two guests, so we have two tips. The first one is from Alex Howard.
So my tip is definitely related to movie theaters. Like we were saying, you know, if it's not working, don't get discouraged and make sure you talk to the staff. But I think my big tip is if you're going to IMAX or Dolby, especially those, bring your own earphones. Because I think plugging in your, especially if you have the in-ear earbuds, plugging in your own earphones makes it a lot easier to hear the sound, especially in like Dolby or IMAX, where the sound really reverberates and it's super loud. If you have your own in-ear earbuds, it makes it a lot easier to hear the description.
Lee Pugsley also had a tip for us. This is less related to movies specifically, but applies to all of life.
Don't miss out on an opportunity to encourage people around you. I think so often we spend a lot of time, you know, tearing people and things down. So let's just take moments to build people up whenever we can.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
Biped AI, the Swiss startup behind Noa, an all-in-one mobility tool worn on the shoulders. Noa provides audio GPS instructions, detects obstacles, and describes surroundings in real time using its live AI feature. More information is available at biped.ai.
And by
the Blind Institute of Technology, a global nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing accessibility and inclusion. BIT offers training programs and connects skilled professionals with disabilities to career opportunities. More information is at blindit.org.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Alex and Lee.
Today we have two guests with us, and I thought maybe we could introduce them in order. So, Alex, why don't you tell people who you are and a little bit about what you do?
Hi, my name is Alex Howard. I'm the co-host of the Dark Room podcast, which is a podcast that focuses on movies from a visually impaired and blind perspective. And I'm also an accessibility consultant in Los Angeles. So I consult on different scripts and help different companies try and make their goals in accessibility more, how do you say, I guess I try and help them increase their accessibility in their company.
And what is the state of your vision?
I am legally blind. So basically, it's a lot of detail for me. Like, I don't have any black spots or anything in my vision, but it's mostly I have trouble seeing detail. I can't really read print unless it's really big, or I have a little trouble with colors and things like that.
And our second guest is Lee. Lee, you want to tell people a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah. Hi, guys. My name is Lee Pugsley, and I am Alex's co-host of the Dark Room podcast. In addition to that, I'm a stage and screen actor, writer, director, and producer. I also did a short film last year for the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge, and we won Best Film for that and are currently developing that into a feature film. In addition, I am a member of the Blind Dance Company, which is made up of all blind and low vision performers, and constantly doing the grind for creative projects over here in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And what amount of vision do you have?
I have partial vision in my left eye, no vision at all in my right eye. So it really depends for me on what I can see based on the lighting. Like if I'm outside and it's really sunny, I can see a lot more, including colors and everything. If it's a darker environment, there's definitely some challenges that come with that. And I was born with glaucoma.
So you listed a whole long string of organizations through which you perform and produce. Have you been involved in any productions that we might have seen?
I was featured in a Drunk History episode about the disability sit-in. Other than that, a lot of stuff has been more short films and theater stuff here in the Los Angeles area.
And how did you two connect to get this Dark Room podcast underway?
We connected. There's an audio description Facebook group. And I've been wanting to do this podcast for a while, but I knew I couldn't do it by myself. So I was kind of waiting to see. I had another legally blind friend of mine who wasn't interested. So I was waiting to see like when the right person would come along. And I saw Lee was posting in the Facebook group. And so we connected and found out we live in the same area. So I asked Lee if he would be interested. I think pretty soon after I met you, I think it was might have been like one of the first messages I sent you. And yeah, it kind of took off.
Cool.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the Dark Room podcast and the overall experience of going to the movies with a visual impairment.
Well, today we want to talk a little bit more about the podcast that you do. And Alex, what was your initial idea in wanting to do such a podcast?
I surround myself with entertainment, news, and shows and things all day long. And so since I listen to movie news and all of that, a lot of the stuff that they talk about, they never touch on audio description. They never touch on, there are some movies they talk about, especially foreign movies, that I can't watch. And so I felt like I never really saw myself in these podcasts and things that I enjoy. So I thought I should start a show that kind of does that, but from the visually impaired perspective.
And remind our listeners what your podcast is called, and then why did you call it that?
So it's called The Dark Room. Lee and I were throwing around names for a while. I think we went to see a movie with another friend of ours, who is now our editor, Jamie, and we were trying to figure out what the name should be. We kept throwing out different names, and we thought, well, a movie theater is dark. And then we were like, in our visions, kind of, you know, it makes things darker for us. So we thought The Dark Room was a pretty appropriate title.
And you guys apparently enjoy movies quite a bit. I've listened to a couple of your podcasts when you talk about going to the theater and the issues you run into with the equipment sometimes for audio description and what the experience is like. You're quite movie files.
Yeah, I think Lee and I both go to the movies over 100 times a year, I think. Is that right, Lee?
Yeah, that's correct. We're there multiple times a week. I mean, obviously, there's some weeks where we're busy and we don't have time to get there at all. Or, you know, maybe it's once a week. But usually at the end of the year, we have gone over 100 times pretty easily.
And at least one of you recently came back from the Sundance Film Festival. What was that like?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I went sort of to help educate myself, since I am an accessibility consultant. Obviously, I specialize in low vision and blind things that people need, but I wanted to get a more well-rounded view of everything. And so I volunteered in the accessibility department there, where I was helping kind of fulfill everyone's accommodation requests for the festival. So that was really insightful and really fun. And obviously, when you volunteer there, you get pretty much an unlimited pass if you're a full-time volunteer to go see any movie you want. So after work every day, I'd go check out movies and stuff.
In your podcast episodes, you cover quite a wide variety of topics. Sometimes you talk about particular movies. Sometimes you talk about the equipment. Sometimes you have reviews. Give us an idea of what episodes are like and more details about the topics you cover.
We do a lot of movie reviews. That's kind of where we started with things. And then we would talk about our experience in the movies or our experience, you know, on streaming, doing different things like that. And then we've kind of branched into more interviews with people who are involved in the audio description industry and also just blind professionals in the entertainment industry as well. We just did an episode with one of the writers in the Dexter writer's room of the new Dexter show, and he is legally blind. So we try and cover a very wide variety of topics. Obviously, you know, we do our top tens of the year and our favorite movies of the summer and stuff like that. But we also really like to focus on the industry because we try and set ourselves apart from other movie podcasts. I know everyone on YouTube has their own movie podcast and they do their own top 10 and their own this or that. And we, while we do that, we try and really do interviews and things like that and try and talk to people that most people aren't talking to and get their perspective on things.
And it's really interesting to kind of see how this podcast has morphed from when we first started it. Because initially, I think we were going to be more so just one of those movie review podcasts, even though we were bringing our own perspective as visually impaired individuals into it. But over time, we realized that this platform is excellent for just being able to create a dialogue and to educate people who may not have an awareness of audio description, or they may not be aware of the process of what it takes to do audio description and the little intricacies surrounding that, surrounding some of the challenges of going to the movie theater or even streaming home media. And so over time, we felt like it was a very effective choice to bring in other industry professionals in the audio description field and sometimes outside of that field as well, just to give people a very well-rounded awareness of the different components of things in the blind and low vision communities as it pertains to accessibility and media.
So we've actually done a couple of episodes where we talked to people involved in doing audio description for live theater. But are there differences to doing audio description in a recorded medium like a movie or a television show?
There are definitely differences between live audio description and recorded audio description because the whole element of it being live, you never know exactly what to expect. So a live audio describer always has to be very alert and very on their toes and prepared for anything that could happen. Whereas when you have a recorded version of an audio description track, you can go back, you can edit again, and that's never going to change. But with live audio description, even if you're doing a theater performance night after night, you know, theater's live. So something that happened one way last night could be different tonight. And we're actually planning to have a live audio description individual on our podcast in the coming months as well. So we're excited to kind of dive deeper into that process as well.
So you mentioned there's a separate track for the audio description in a recorded medium like a movie. Do they record that track while the movie's being filmed, or they wait until the whole movie's put together and then they do the audio description track?
Yeah, they usually wait till it's done. It's usually one of the last steps that they do. For example, like when they're doing captions, at the same time, they'll be doing the audio description. And it's usually done by a post-production house. I mean, ideally, the filmmakers are involved, but usually it's just done by the post-production house. In one of our roundtables, it was kind of funny. We do an Oscars audio description roundtable every year where we have audio describers of different Oscar-nominated movies all on at the same time. And last year, the one who did Barbie said he did all the audio description, and then they decided to put in a song in the credits. And so he had to go through and change the audio description in the credits to try and not talk over the music.
Oh, geez.
We were at a live audio described event not too long ago, And it occurs to me, one of the differences when you talk about doing audio description for a movie, for example, is that you have more control over the sound levels versus the sound levels of the description. I remember listening to this audio describe play, and it got loud, and I couldn't hear the audio describer very well.
Well, it was the full Monty, and the grand finale is really quite a scene. And the music just kept getting louder and louder and louder. And we were, I mean, I'm fully sighted, but I was listening because we were doing an episode where we were talking to the describer. I knew Pete couldn't hear a thing because I couldn't hear a thing. And then I had to describe the scene to him after the whole show was over.
Yeah.
I know that show really well, and I totally know the exact moment you're talking about, too. It is interesting, though, with live audio description, because going back to what you said about the sound levels, you don't always have control over how loud the levels are. You can't anticipate that. And sometimes when I have used the live audio description headset, the sound is a little muffled as well. And so it's not necessarily always as clear of a sound because you have someone that's sitting back there in a booth and they're wearing a muffler so people don't hear them as well. And so it has its own challenges in terms of just not always being able to have the same clarity with audio description that you would from a film. And that's something that can be a struggle at times.
Yeah, plus the describer doesn't have any feedback as to what you're hearing. Whereas when you're doing description for a movie, you can listen to the recording and hear how your voice is relative to the movie background and fix that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you briefly touched on the equipment that you get when you try to listen to an audio described movie. I assume this has evolved over the years. What kind of pros and cons do you find to the various options?
Well, they used to have a device that we go to AMCs. At the AMCs, they might still have them at some of them, but they used to give you like a little black box and you plug in your headphones and this and that way. But they were basically, they could give you the wrong channel. So I feel like half the time they'd give you the audio enhancement instead of the audio description. And then you don't know if it's the right one until the movie starts and you have to go back out and switch it out. And it's a dark theater and you miss part of the movie and it's a whole production. But now the devices are the same. It's all one device. So if it's the wrong one, you can just kind of exit out of the menu and, you know, do it on the actual device instead of running out. So it has gotten better. The new devices are also touchscreen, so it's not very accessible for people who are blind.
Perfect choice.
Yeah, right. So the staff or someone with you has to do it for you. So that's a little frustrating, but they're working on it. It's definitely improved from what it used to be. And I think there are other theaters that have it so that it's built into a headset that they give you. So one ear is audio enhancement and one ear is audio description, and you can turn it up or down depending on what you want.
Yeah, to comment on that, like, for example, the Lemley Theater chain that I go to sometimes, they just give you a headset that you put on, like, you know, earmuffs or whatever. It's like wireless. And then you actually have control over, like, if you push the knob all the way up, or the switch all the way up to the top, then it's audio description. If you move it down one notch, then it's audio enhancement. And what I like about those devices is you can actually control the volume of each ear. So if you don't want volume coming through both ears, you want one ear to listen, then it's nice that you can just turn down the volume in one side and still listen with the other side to the audio description. But each device is slightly different, but there's definitely very common themes and specifications that are similar to how they operate. They just may look a little different.
What is audio enhancement?
Audio enhancement is for individuals that may have a hard time hearing. So it basically amplifies the sound on screen or that's coming through the speakers into the headphones so you can hear it more directly right into your ear.
I thought it was interesting you talked about listening to the movie out of one ear and the description out of the other ear. I would never have thought of doing that. Is that somehow distracting, or do you enjoy it doing it that way more often?
Usually when I'm in the theater and I have my headphones on, I'll take off one ear anyway and listen to the movie sound in one ear and then have the AD in the other ear. That's how I normally do it. So if they have the headphone version like Lee was talking about, yeah, sometimes it helps to have the audio enhancement in one and the AD in the other, because if you're covering both ears, it's muffled, the sound in the theater. So yeah, sometimes that does help to do it that way.
Well, that's interesting, because they do make a big deal of the sound system in the movies. They are really spectacular sound systems, and that is definitely part of the experience. I guess I can understand why you prefer to do it that way.
And even listening to something in the headphones for audio enhancement, the sound that's coming through the headphones, it's just not the same as having the sound coming from the speaker, because you have all the surround sound and everything coming from the speakers, where in the headphone, you only get what's coming through the headphone. So I always like to take one earbud off as well, or one headphone off, so I have a free ear that can listen to the open sound coming from the speakers in the theater.
Yeah, I prefer that as well, definitely.
So it sounds like it takes a little bit of experience to get used to both the devices and how to use them. If you're a first-time person going to an audio-described movie, you might not want to get discouraged if it wasn't 100% great experience just by your first time.
Yeah, I think that one of the most important things is, like you said, don't get discouraged, but also just start having those conversations with the managers or the employees at your local theaters. Like for me and Alex, since we go to the AMC theaters in Burbank and Glendale here in the Los Angeles area so often, they know us now. They know what we need. They know some of the potential issues that can come with it. And I feel like just our presence being there and showing up to the movie theaters communicates to theater employees that blind and low vision people do go to movies. We like going to movies. But beyond that, it also helps them learn how to interact with us and to kind of get the system down a little bit more. And you only refine that system just by working together and by being there and by communicating with each other on that.
Well, great. It sounds like you guys have found a way to really enjoy movies and see lots of them. And I've listened to a few episodes of your podcast. You guys really interact well, and they're kind of fun. So I encourage people to listen to your podcast, the Dark Room Podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and we're pretty spoiled here in LA that they do know us so well. So our podcast is really also trying to help other blind and low vision individuals who wish they could go to the movies as much, or maybe they're theater isn't doing as good of a job. And, you know, it is unfair that we have to basically train them to help us enjoy movies. But, you know, the more you go, the better they'll get at it.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to find the Dark Room Podcast, how to learn more about it, and how to contact its hosts, Alex Howard and Lee Pugsley.
So remind people where people can find the Dark Room Podcast and how they can listen to it.
So they can find us anywhere you get your podcasts. I mean, we're on Victor Reader, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, we're on YouTube as well. Sometimes we'll put up video versions of our show if we do like a Zoom recording or something. So those are fun. But yeah, we're pretty much anywhere you find your podcast. Just search The Dark Room. That's The Dark Room. That's three words, podcast.
And be careful, because when I tried to do a search, I found other entities that weren't you. So you may be surprised at what you get.
Yeah. You can also search our names too, especially Lee Pugsley. I think Alex Howard's a little bit more common of a name. But if you search Lee Pugsley, it should come up too.
Can you spell that?
It's LeePugsley. So yeah, you can just go ahead and type in The Dark Room Lee Pugsley, And then in addition to listening to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or watching on YouTube, you can also follow us on Instagram at Darkroom Filmcast. Once again, that's at Darkroom Filmcast, because Darkroom Podcast was taken. So we figured Darkroom Filmcast is a good handle.
Do you guys have a website, or is there a way of contacting you if people have questions?
Yeah, you can email us at darkroomfilmcast@gmail.com. We always love to hear from our listeners or really anyone with any questions or anything. We love it so much. So yeah, feel free to reach out.
And a website?
Our website is through Buzzsprout. Lee, do you know what it is offhand?
I don't know what it is offhand. We probably need to make that more accessible, though, in terms of having an easy URL.
Yeah, but if you search Buzzsprout and then the dark room, it should come up. Yeah.
What's your YouTube channel?
The YouTube channel, like the channel name is The Dark Room, but the subscription thing is at Dark Room Filmcast. So if you type in Dark Room Filmcast on YouTube, you'll find it that way.
And if you look in the show notes associated with episode 2515, you'll find all of that information at our website. I want to remind people we also have a couple of promotional items on our website. One is from the Hable pocket-size Braille keyboard that connects to your iOS and other devices. And also for InnoSearch, which is a very accessible online shopping service. And if you use the links on our website, you will not only get a discount on whatever you order, but you'll also help support Eyes on Success. We've done shows on both of those. If you put either the name Hable or InnoSearch, InnoSearch, into the search tool on our website, you can find each of those episodes and learn more. By the way, we always enjoy hearing from our listeners. If you have suggestions about what you'd like to hear on the show, what you like about the show, what you think we ought to change about the show, shoot us a note. Just email hosts@eyesonsuccess.net and let us know what you think.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about getting food delivered right to your home. Dinner Delivered is a book which serves as a guide for visually impaired individuals on using grocery and meal delivering services. We'll talk with Kim Loftus-Nova, who co-authored the book with Chris Grabowski-Nova, about navigating platforms like Instacart, Shipt, and DoorDash. Kim shares her own experiences using these services, as well as practical tips for you.
Hope you enjoyed going to the movies with us today, and we hope to catch you all next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.